How many of you are ready for the Word of God tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, the last few services, we've just had such a flow of the Holy Ghost, I haven't got to this Word. So I am excited to preach it tonight. That doesn't mean you have to get out of the flow of the Holy Ghost so I can preach. If you just get touched by the glory of God, just do your thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you were here Sunday night in the service? How many of you were really touched by God in that service? I'm telling you, it was a glorious service. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, and I want to back up a verse into Romans chapter 4. Back up two verses, Romans chapter 4, verse 24. It's talking about Jesus. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Jesus, on Him, that's God, excuse me, that raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Jesus was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, Jesus here has given us access into the grace of God. Now, to understand what this means, first off, you have to understand what the grace of God is. Like I said a few minutes ago, the grace of God is not just the mercy of God. You know, these days when we use the word grace, you know, if you're behind on a payment, you may tell your creditor, hey, can you give me a little grace? You know, how many of you have ever done that? Don't raise your hand because we don't need to know. I saw somebody raise their hand. Everybody look over here. This guy, raise his hand. You just ask for a little bit of grace. But that is not at all what the word grace means here in the New Testament. The word grace is what took place on the cross. Turn with me to, I want you to see this verse here. I wrote it down. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. This is going to just really impact your life. And I think we're going to be shouting happy in just a few minutes. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death. Now, if that may hit you like it hit me, where it just skews your mind. You're like, wait a minute. I thought the grace of God was a good thing. But Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. The grace of God towards Jesus was not life. The grace of God towards Jesus was death. Hallelujah. God's grace towards Jesus was our death, and God's grace towards us is Jesus' life. Grace was death to Jesus, and grace is life to us, as we just read in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. So Jesus took your death. When Jesus was on the cross, He did not just die and give you money. He did not just die and try to pass healing along to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that we, through baptism, were buried with Jesus and risen with Him from the dead. So we were by baptism into Christ. We'll probably read it in Romans 6 in just a few minutes. I'm having to spew out a whole lot real quick. But we were buried with Jesus by baptism into death. So when Jesus died on the cross, you were right there with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think we just need to shout right now by faith before I preach the whole message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but getting a nail driven through my hand alone is enough for me to get happy that I didn't actually have to do that. Much less the penalty for all of my sin. Much less the penalty. I mean, just getting mad once and having a minor cuss word go through your mind last year is enough to send you to hell. Oh my God. Now, I'm not talking about aside from the grace of God. I'm talking about if Jesus had never died. I'm talking about you had to be sinless to make heaven. Now, don't make me re-preach the whole Old Testament right now. Just trust me. You had to be sinless to make heaven without Jesus. Like I said a few weeks ago, Adam sinned, he blew it. But we all know that if Adam hadn't sinned and it was down to you, you probably would have been the first person to sin and blow it for everybody else. If it wasn't you, it would have been me. I would have blown it within my first week. So sin was not, never was the main issue. Hallelujah. So Jesus, when he died on the cross, you were buried with Jesus by baptism into death. So when Jesus was on the cross, the grace of God towards Jesus was your death. It's important that you understand this before we move on. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. So the grace of God that Jesus had was God the Father transferring your death, your lack, your poverty, your sickness, your depression, your heaviness, your oppression, all of that garbage by the grace of God was pulled off of you because you were right there. Hallelujah. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death and risen with Him in newness of life. You are right there. Hallelujah. I don't know how that works. I don't have to figure it out. It's above us. Praise God. That's why it's God. Hallelujah. It's above us. It's above our minds. It's more than we can comprehend or think. That's what makes it God. Hallelujah. So just accept it by faith. Jesus took all of that sin, all of the sickness, all of the depression, all of the heaviness, every past due bill that you faced in the past, every past due bill you may face in the future, God took all of that while Jesus was on the cross, and His grace moved that over onto Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Jesus died on the cross, it was not a substitutionary thing where you weren't there at all. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, you were there. Hallelujah. You were there. It's not like He was a substitute for you. God, by His grace, put you on the cross with Jesus. But you didn't have to feel the pain. You didn't have to feel the death. You didn't have to feel anything. Hallelujah. 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 You didn't have to feel any of it. Jesus took it all. Hallelujah. That's the wonderful, amazing grace of God. God's grace is life towards you. It's the life of Jesus getting transferred over to you. At the same time, your death was transferred over to Jesus. Just like that, on the cross, boom, it just went like this. Here's Jesus and here's you. Here's death and here's life and Jesus on the cross. And God just switched the whole thing just like that while Jesus was on the cross. Hallelujah. All the death that we never could have paid the price for, all of the sin that we never could have resisted, all of the sickness that you never could have beat, all of the cancer that a doctor never could drive out of your body was transferred over onto Jesus, and life was transferred over onto you at the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that's the grace of God. Hallelujah, it was all transferred over to Jesus. So when Jesus beat that at the cross, He was not just beating a form of your sickness. He was not just beating a form of the financial lack that you are facing. He was beating the actual lack that you're dealing with. That devil from hell that's trying to destroy your business, He's already defeated that foul devil from hell and made a show of Him openly, triumphing over Him in it. Hallelujah. That's what took place on the cross. Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted your death. Jesus, by the grace of God, took your cancer. Jesus, by the grace of God, took your bad hearing, your bad vision, your bad heart problem. He took all of that on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it again, Wilda. Yes, hallelujah. Say it again, Wilda. Yes. Hallelujah. You got to get happy about that right now. Praise God. Jesus took it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Like I said a few minutes ago, it's not a sin issue. Now, sin can be the issue if you don't let Jesus be the issue. Sin will take you to hell if you don't let Jesus be the issue. But if Jesus is the issue for you, sin is no longer the issue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The grace of God, Jesus taking your death on the cross, all of your sickness, all of your sin, all of your disease is so true and so powerful that it almost leaves the Christian or a non-Christian at the place to say, what's the purpose of not sinning? If sin doesn't hurt me, if it doesn't curse me, if it doesn't bring... No, sin still brings... The wages of sin is still death. Hallelujah. But sin does not stop the work of the grace of God in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At any moment, you can stand in faith and say, I repent and I'm getting my life right and it's over. Hallelujah. Like I said, 20-something years ago, I remember I was struggling with the sin in my life, and I would get under so much condemnation after I fell to that sin. For days, I would beat myself up over the head like I shouldn't have done that, and I would condemn myself for days until I got an understanding of the grace of God, that I was the righteousness of God and what Jesus did on the cross. And I realized that the sin itself was nowhere near as bad as in its effect on me as the condemnation I was putting on myself as a result of the sin. Hallelujah. If you got a hold of what I just said right there, anybody in this place that's struggling with the sin habit or any kind of a bad habit, that'll set you free right there. Because it's not about the sin that you committed. Now, if you killed somebody and you're going to prison for it, there's no way to stop those consequences. I'm talking about spiritually, but this applies in every area of life. But it's not the condemnation. There is no, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the grace of God has taken that away from you. The grace of God has delivered you from all sin, sickness, and disease. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I got in a place where I just figured, you know what? I'm just going to, if when I make this mistake and I blow it, I'm going to repent and I'm going to get right. And I'm going to stand up tall and walk in the righteousness of God 5 seconds after the fact and let no condemnation come into my heart and come into my life, because it is a lie from hell. All of that stuff is a lie from hell. It cannot go through the blood of Jesus. Somebody you know may come up to you at some point and say, I know how you used to be. You did this and you did that. It's a lie from hell if you've repented and you're standing in the blood of Jesus Christ. It has no effect. It's been completely washed away. Hallelujah. Water, somebody. Lordy. Usher. I'm just kidding. Thanks, Susan. You're saving me. Whoops. I'm making a mess up here. I did not expect that to happen so soon in the message. Usually I make it a little further. The condemnation is a lie from hell. Why? Because the grace of God towards Jesus was the sin that you committed. It has been put on Jesus by the grace of God. There was no good grace. And I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, and this will make you feel bad for Jesus, and it probably needs to, because we did this to him, okay? There was no grace of God that was on Jesus on the cross to help him and make that situation better. When you are going through hell, when you are going through challenges, the power and the grace of God is with you for you to walk in divine health. And if you're not in divine health, it's there for you to get to a place where you're walking in divine health. When you're walking through troubles and an addiction or sin or financial trouble, the grace of God is there to help walk you through and get you to a place of victory. Even like the grace of giving and receiving, it's all there for you to get to a place of victory. But how was that made available to you? That was made available to you because the consequences of all of your lack, the consequences of all of your sickness, the consequences of all of your sin was beaten by Jesus at the cross, who did not have the grace to help. He did not have the grace of the goodness and the power of God to help him. Jesus beat that head on. He did not give in to sickness. He did not give in to disease. He did not give in to fear. He did not give in to poverty. He did not give in to sin one single second. Not one single fraction of a second did he give in to any of that stuff on the cross. So everything that you face has been totally and thoroughly defeated on the cross. It's not like you lack the power to beat it. It's not like you lack the money to get wealthy. It's not like you lack the health to be healthy anymore. It has been thoroughly defeated on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He didn't leave anything undone. There was no grace of God for Jesus to help on the cross. The only grace that Jesus had was the curse of your sickness, was the curse of your disease, was the curse of your and my poverty. That's what the grace of God towards Jesus was. And that is how this works. That is why that the grace of God is so much life towards you. Because it's not like he went and died on the cross and beat it with God's help and you weren't there and you had nothing to do with it. And if you get lucky, then you get a special transfer of prosperity. And if you get lucky, you get a special dab of healing and you're one of the lucky saints. No, that's not how it happened. Every sickness that has come against your body came against the body of Jesus on the cross. And however many thousands of times Jesus had to resist the sickness that came on you, came on you, came on you. Everybody in this room, multiply that times how many people on the earth? 6 billion right now. And everybody that's been on the earth before. Jesus fought the fight of faith on the cross and never let that into his heart. All sickness was riddling his body. Poverty was all over him. Disease was all over him. Pain and heartbrokenness was all over him. He was smitten of God. All the sin and the consequences of sin and sickness and disease was put on Jesus at the cross. Sickness was in his body, but he never let it in his heart. He never let it affect his faith. Not for one second on the cross did sickness ever get in the heart of Jesus Christ. Not for one second on the cross did disease or poverty ever get in the heart of Jesus Christ. His faith never faltered, not one single second. And you and I get the reward of his fail-proof stand of faith there on the cross. Hallelujah. You and I get the reward of him thoroughly defeating it. I'm telling you, it never had one half second to prevail in his mind. Not one half second to prevail in his heart. It never prevailed. It never made one second ground. Never gained one ounce of position in the heart and the life of Jesus on the cross. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think we need to take a rejoicing break right now. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You thoroughly resisted all sickness. All of my sickness. Thank you, Jesus. You thoroughly resisted all of my lack. You thoroughly resisted all of my sin, Lord Jesus, and you gave me your victory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We get the reward of a perfect faith stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, the teaching and preaching of the word ought to get you shouting. It ought to get you just totally blasted in the Holy Ghost. We ought to get so blasted here in the preaching of the word, it might as well just had somebody lay hands on you because the victory is exploding on the inside of your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I sense such mighty breakthrough here right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 3 of Galatians chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. Know you not, do you not know that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Right there is where that grace exchange took place. You were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glory to God. Therefore, I'm getting happy because I know what's coming. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. You did not just experience a little bit of death. Oh, well, brother, it's just been such a bad 6 months. I've just been crucified with Christ the last 6 months. Knock it off. How many of you know somebody that just mopes around all the time? Every time you talk to them, it's a crisis. Just tell them, knock it off. Anything you have gone through in this life was not you being crucified with Christ. You were crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. You were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, hallelujah, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So Paul puts a parallel on there. He says, we were baptized into death with Jesus Christ, buried with Him. And that was we are, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That word that is very important. That means it's a parallel. In other words, to the same degree. Hallelujah. Jesus had all of the sin, all of the sickness, all of the disease put on Him. And you were there with Jesus. You were crucified with Christ. You were buried with Christ. When you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you received all of this. Therefore, you were buried with Him by baptism into death. When you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you received the baptism into His death. Well, that sounds like a bad thing. It was a bad thing for Jesus. But what happened is that allowed all of the life of God, everything that He has in heaven, everything, as I preached last week, that Moses could not look on the glory of God because it would kill him, all of that goodness, all of God's glory, all of the exceeding abundant riches and the glory of God that God has in heaven and had and still has in Jesus, when you were buried with Him by baptism into death, you were right there on the cross. You were right there in the tomb. And look at what it says right here. That, just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Just like Jesus was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus received the reward of having never failed in His faith. Just like Jesus received the reward of a sinless life. And just like Jesus received the reward of prosperity, health, wealth, favor, and blessing in His life, you receive everything that He has received when He rose from the dead. Just like Jesus was buried because you were right there with Him. Just like He rose from the dead, you too have risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you just leave this on for me? Can you leave them both on? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus rose from the dead, even so you walk in newness of life. It's not like the sin and the sickness and the disease and the lack that you have to deal with hasn't been dealt with. It's not like that it's out there somewhere and you just got to transfer some anointing from Jesus to deal with it. It was already defeated. And just the same as Jesus rose from the dead, just the same as He was crucified and buried and rose up, you even so walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the same degree. Hallelujah. That is the grace of God. That's why it's so powerful that you walk in the grace of God. That you understand that it's not just mercy. That is the grace of God. God's grace was your death towards Jesus and all of Jesus' life towards you. That was the grace of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. 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 Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Even so your finances walk in newness of life. Even so, your health walks in newness of life. Even so, your family dwells and lives in newness of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For by grace are we saved through faith. Hallelujah. It's by the grace of God. You still got to use your faith. You want to receive all this? Faith. Faith without works is dead. You can use your faith. You're going to receive this. Hallelujah. And it's easy. It's like I've been preaching the last few weeks that we don't have to do the job of Jesus' faith. Jesus already did all this. You didn't do anything to provide salvation. You didn't do anything to provide financial abundance. You didn't have to do any of this to provide health for yourself. Jesus already defeated sickness on the cross. His faith already accomplished all of that. Your faith doesn't have to go and beat sickness again. Hallelujah. You do not have to beat sickness again. Somebody praise God. You do not have to beat lack again. Well, I'm struggling with lack. No, you're not. Don't struggle with lack anymore. Amen. Well, David, I'll say that and I believe that, but I wake up tomorrow and I still see the bank account. You got to understand how the grace of God works. The grace of God works because Jesus already did it. To the degree that you believe Jesus already did it on the cross, like I've been saying the last 15 minutes, that's to the degree the grace of God is available in your life. Hallelujah. And you can rejoice in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. That's why Paul said, we rejoice in the grace of God wherein we stand. When you get a hold of this, you can't stop yourself from rejoicing. You can't stop yourself from shouting and praising God because you know that it's already a battle that's won. Hallelujah. You can't stop yourself from rejoicing and shouting the victory. Hallelujah. Paul said, we rejoice in the grace of God wherein we stand in hope of the glory of God. Now that word rejoice, if you study that out, it means rejoice, but it also means to stand at the vantage point of victory. Let me ask you a question. When you're believing God for a $50,000 miracle or a $5,000 miracle or a new car, do you have a vantage point of my car is out there or saving our house is out there, not losing the foreclosure or whatever you're believing God for? Is it something that is above you that's out there that you're trying to obtain to? Then you have not stood and you are not standing in the grace of God. Now, after the past 15 minutes, it makes a lot more sense to you, right? You got to stand. When you stand in the grace of God, your job is to rejoice because Jesus beat it at the cross. Hallelujah. And that is why your vantage point is not from down low looking up high at your miracle like, oh, it's up there. I got to climb this mountain and get up there to my miracle. That's not how faith works. Jesus climbed the mountain. Jesus beat it soundly on the cross. I'm telling you, you get the victory of as if you had never given and yielded to poverty. You get the victory as if you had never given in or yielded to sickness. You get the victory as if you had never smoked a cigarette, never taken a drink, never done anything wrong. That's the victory that you get. Hallelujah. Jesus climbed the mountain of impossibility. Jesus climbed the mountain of what you need already. Your job is not to be down here looking up at Him, but your job, I'm going to stand on the pulpit. No, I'm just kidding. We all know that Pastor Bob and Jonathan Edwards would come back and just beat me over the head if I stood on the pulpit. If you look, it's got some old 1700s, second great awakening, first great awakening dust still in there. This is the real glory dust right here. Forget the glory dust falling in South America. Come here, Paul. I'll give you a dose of glory dust. That's some glory dust right there. It's got Pastor Bob Nichols' revival glory. That's a glory cloud right there. How many of you saw that puff come out of there? Don't tell Pastor I did that. We'll just give him the sermon notes on this. Where was I? Does anybody remember where I was? I was telling you I was not going to stand on the holy pulpit. Your vantage point is not from down there looking up here trying to get the victory. Your vantage point, that word rejoice means to stand from the vantage point of victory. So you're up here looking down. You're already on top. when you stand in the grace of God. Hallelujah. You're already up there. You standing in grace is three things. I'm going to teach the word for about 30 seconds. Standing in grace is three things. Number one, it's rejoicing. Standing in grace, it almost goes without saying at this point in the message, standing in grace is standing in what Jesus did on the cross for you. So what you do in that is, number one, it's rejoicing. Standing in grace is rejoicing because you cannot stand in the grace of God without getting happy. And number two, standing in grace is standing in the successful vantage point. That's literally the translation I found in the Greek. Standing from the successful vantage point. If you're looking at it as a mountain you got to climb and things are impossible and you can't do this, it's because you're not standing and you're not walking in revelation of the grace of God. Stand in a successful vantage point. Change how you see the circumstances. Hallelujah. And number three, standing in grace is a certain expectation of the glory of God. Now, in verse 2 of chapter 5, it says that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we already clarified that word grace does not mean the way we use grace nowadays. But in the same way, the word hope in verse 2 does not mean the way that we use the word hope nowadays at all. So just forget your definition and understanding of the word hope when you're reading the New Testament. It'll skew you up every single time. It'll get you off track. Because when we think of hope, we just think of a dream. Well, I got bought a lottery ticket. Praise God. I sure hope that I win. Yeah, that's a pipe dream right there. You ain't going to win. And if you do, you'll probably be in worse circumstances than you were before you won the lottery. That's hope. Hope is just a dream. It's a wish. You know, hope is somebody standing at one end of the basketball court and just baseball throwing the basketball, hoping it goes in the other basket. We all know if you make it once, you'll never make it again. It was luck. You just hoped you would make it. I had a friend, my dad, remodeled a 66 GTO, and my dad was a fanatic. I have an 82 Corvette that I bought for dirt cheap, and we put it in the car show, and Robert didn't rig it. I didn't win first place, so. It was a fall fest. I'm just kidding about that. And but my dad restored a 66 GTO, a frame-off restoration. When I was in elementary and junior high. And we were playing basketball one time after he did this. And my dad takes excellence to the point of perfection. I mean, it just drives you crazy sometimes. Not in a bad way, but like you'll understand. When he restored this GTO, he did a frame-off restoration. So he bought an old GTO. He dressed down in rags and drove the beat-up car to go buy the GTO so the guy wouldn't think he had any money, you know, and give him a lower price. And I was like, that's a good idea, Dad. That sure was a good idea, until I watched the Cosby Show years later, and Bill Cosby did the same thing when he was trying to sell his station wagon. I'm like, Dad, you got that from the Cosby Show. Because we used to watch the Cosby Show every night. And that was before the internet, so on Monday nights or whenever that came on NBC, we'd watch the Cosby Show. My dad, you got that from the Cosby Show. But anyway, he buys this car, beat up GTO, a 66. And by the time he was done, it was immaculate. It was as good or better than anything that would come off the showroom floor. He took every nut, bolt, and washer off of that car and other cars that he had to find and went to junkyards, put them in a stripping solution that would pull the paint off, and stripped down every original nut, bolt, and washer on that car from the frame all the way to the very top. I mean, it was crazy. That car was immaculate. So we were out playing basketball one day, and the car's in the garage. And I'm just, you know, a teenager. That's my excuse back then. And so I wasn't smart enough to think, lower the garage door before you play basketball. Because our basketball hoop was the one that's on the roof, right above the garage door, 5 feet away from Dad's GTO. And I have a friend that does that basketball hurling thing. My parents have a long driveway. It's probably like 40 or 50 feet long, and it goes downhill a little bit. And so he shoots a shot and misses, and it rebounds and goes way down the driveway, down into the alley. And then I see him. He runs down. He's mad because he missed the shot. And he runs down there, and I'm up, you know, near the goal. And I see him pick up the ball, and he's mad, and he's like, And I'm like, no, Ben, no. And he picks up that thing and hurls it. And it's just like time stood still because my dad never let me drive the car until like 2 or 3 years ago when he sold it. He finally let me drive the car. I was like, Dad, I've never driven the car. He was like, you've never driven the car? No, you would kill me if I tried to drive the car. I had a CDL. I could drive an 18-wheeler. I drove an 18-wheeler across the nation and still couldn't drive Dad's GTO. I mean, we were not allowed to touch that car. I mean, we had a lot of cats when we were kids. We never had a dog. And we always named the cat, you know, Herschel, whatever, Misty, those are names. Dad's name for the cat was always Idiot Cat. Because the idiot cat would get on the GTO and leave paw prints on his car. So that's the way he was. So the ball is going through the air, and this is a hope. Ben was like hoping that he can hurl the basketball all the way up the alley and make a shot. And that ball, and I'm just like, no, my life is passing before my eyes. And that ball came down and smacked on the trunk of Dad's GTO. And then I'm in total horror. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I ran over there. And it must have been a miracle of God, Paul. That's why I'm still here. Because it didn't make a scratch and it didn't make a dent. But that's all the good that a hope is in modern day vernacular. But godly hope is the exact opposite. Godly hope is a hope. The godly hope is you getting excited and full of hope because you know what God has done for you. Because you know what's about to manifest in the natural. Hallelujah. Godly hope has no conditions, no wonderings, no ifs, ands, maybes, or buts. If it was a godly hope when Ben threw that basketball, I never would have been scared at all. But it was not a godly hope. But God has godly hope for you. And it's not just a wish in a dream world. I'm telling you, when you get a hold of the grace of God and you're standing in the grace of God, you are so sure about what God did on the cross and that grace exchange that took place that your death has been taken away, your sickness and your lack has been taken away, and God's life and His glory has been given to you, that hope abounds in your heart. Hallelujah. And you rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God did it on the cross, and He's going to manifest it in your life. Rejoicing in hope, rejoicing in grace, is rejoicing in what God did on the cross and what He did in your life. And when you get a hold of that, hope arises in your heart. And the manifestation of the glory of God, just turn with me there. I need you to see this. Romans 5, verse 2. Hallelujah, this ought to enter into every single one of your prayer lives. I pray it every day. By whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God, that word hope means certain expectation. Why is it a certain expectation? Because you know what has already happened is going to happen again. What already happened on the cross with your health, your prosperity, your deliverance is going to manifest in your life again. Hallelujah. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is all of His goodness, all of His power, all of His wealth, all of His blessing given to you through the cross. And now when you get a hold of this, you rejoice in hope of His glory that it's going to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. It is going to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you get a hold of the grace of God. Hope arises and abounds on the inside of you. And you are so excited because now you know that it's going to work. Now you know that your finances are going to be blessed and you're going to have more than you know what to do with. Now you know that you're not going to die of cancer. Hallelujah. Now you know that you're not going to walk crippled with arthritis the rest of your life. Forget that. Now you know. And it produces rejoicing and hope that is a certain expectation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you stand up and praise God tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just take another 60 seconds and rejoice right now. Let hope arise in your heart. Hallelujah. Rejoice and let hope arise in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Oh, I declare hope in you again. Certain expectation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. What God did on the cross in you, He's going to manifest in you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.